Amen.
Okay, well, I've got several comments to make, and I've got a question also.
Amen. I was hoping you would, Mike.
Okay. You started off giving some definitions for atonement, and I have a layman's definition for atonement. If you break that word up, it's at one meant, and it means to become one with Christ, like the Feast of Atonement, and dwelling in tabernacles. It means becoming one with Christ. And the more I read the Bible, the more I realize that entire book basically is just about becoming one with Christ, just in hundreds of different ways it says it, but that's what it's all about. And the second one was when Adam sinned, and then God covered him with animal skins, meaning that an animal had to die to cover sin.
Animal had to shed his blood.
An animal had to shed his blood to cover sin. And without God, we're nothing but an animal. And so the spiritual meaning of that is, in order to cover sin, we have to shed our blood. And I don't mean like being cut with a knife. I mean, we have to give up our life. He said, life is in the blood. We have to give up our life in order to get the life of God. It couldn't be said any clearer when Jesus said, if you keep your life, you're going to lose it. And if you lose it, you're going to get it. And so it basically means we have to give up our lives. And Christ's sacrifice, covered sin, but that doesn't mean that, okay, he did everything and now we can just live any way we want to. We have to do it too. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross and follow me. We've got something we've got to die to too. Okay, and then also another thought that came to me, and I might have a little bit, I can't remember this word for word where it is in the scripture, but you'll get the bottom line. I think it was when the high priest went in once a year, it said, but not without blood. In other words, for you to go in and commune with God, you have to have given up your life to get God's life in you. So that's just one more thing about the blood. And then one other thing, I forgot what you said that made me think this. I think it was when you said, talking about the vagabond, how things were getting worse, And when I'm thinking about things getting worse, here's what came to my mind today. I thought, do you know that we have a member sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States of America that can't tell you what a woman is?
Oh yeah, we
I
do.
mean, can you believe it? And, I can tell you what the problem is with not only the United States, but the whole world. I can tell you in one little bitty sentence about that long, without God, there is no plumb line. Okay, and then a couple other little things I wanted to say was, I'm
Yeah,
sure
Mike, getting back to the Supreme Court justice, it's a woman.
yes.
And the Senate, one of the senators asked her to give a definition of what is a woman. And she wouldn't do it.
No, she said, I'm no biologist. Well, all you gotta know is a woman's an in, a man's an outie. Anyway, yeah, I watched that. I watched her give that answer. Well, I'm not a biologist or whatever it was she said. It was like, oh my goodness, you gotta be kidding me. Anyway, I also wanted to comment on, I'm sure back then when it happened, that it was the firstborn of each family that was killed in Egypt. But we all know that anything in that book, any natural story, any natural world word, any natural happening has a spiritual meaning. So what does the killing of the firstborn mean to us now? There's a scripture that says, The firstborn man was Adam, and the lastborn is Christ. So I think when they talk about killing the firstborn, it's not going to be just the firstborn of each family the second time. It's going to be the firstborn, meaning the firstborn nature, that fallen nature. Anybody that has that nature instead of the nature of God in them is the one that's going to be suffering. And then the last thing before I ask my question, I wanted to comment on hyssop. You mentioned, Mark, that they took hyssop and dipped it in the blood to put the blood above the door. And George Warnock wrote a book called The Hyssop That Springeth Out of the Wall. The hyssop is just a little scraggly little plant, and it grows like in the cracks and crags of the rocks and the walls and on the ground you walk on and stuff. In other words, it gets stepped on a lot, like us Christians. And it's an herb that's used in spicing the dead. They put hyssop on the dead bodies, just kind of like an embalming sort of a thing, you know. And so what that speaks to me of is you know, if it takes hyssop to apply the blood, it means you've got to be dead to yourself, dying and dead to yourself, you know, and having this life of Christ in order to be saved when everything's going to come down one of these days here pretty soon. Okay, and then the question I had, I've never completely understood this. I'm wondering if anybody can shed some light on it. Back when Adam sinned, and God said, now that he's done this, we got to get him out of here so he can't partake of the tree of the life and live forever. Now, how, I don't understand how somebody in sin would ever be able to live together. So can anybody expound on that a little bit to me?
Well, had he partaken of that tree, Mike, he was in sin. And there had been no deliverance for him from that sin, amen, except, you know, sacrifice once in a while, but no permanent delivery. Adam would probably still be alive today in a miserable, miserable condition. Well, we know Christ came, but what would have happened to the poor guy?
Wouldn't he have died if he, when he sinned, and there was no deliverance from that, meaning Christ paying the price, wouldn't have Adam just died at, you know, whatever, 100 or 500 or whatever years he would have lived?
Well, he lived 900 and some years, but he did die. So what you're asking is, what would have happened if he had actually gotten a hold of the tree of life?
Yeah, after he sinned.
After he sinned, yeah.
That's the part that I'm not quite seeing. So in other words, if he... I still don't quite see it, but that's okay. God will have to show it to me, I guess.
Well, there is a mystery in there, isn't it, Mike?
I think so, somehow.
Well, I thought God answered it when he was speaking and said that, you know, that they had to leave the garden lest they take of the tree of life. And that's when they were.
Well, the thing is, God did not intend to forever keep the tree of life from man, okay? But in the condition they were at that time, and up until Jesus Christ, who is the tree of life, they couldn't take it. And so he put the angel with a flaming sword, the sword that went every way. How would he get to that tree of life then after he'd been put out of paradise? Did God intend to keep us forever from paradise? So is there a way back to paradise? Is there a way back to the tree of life? There is, and it seems the only way back is through the flaming sword. And the flaming sword is what?
Represents
Tribulation. Tribulation. We have to be changed by fire. And the fire is the tribulation in our life. Come on, you don't call upon the Lord until you get in trouble. You're doing fine, you know. You're a good old boy, you're a good sinner, you know, you're having success, but you know about God, and you know what? You're gonna have to be put in fire to get you out of that situation, and you're gonna call upon the Lord, and you're gonna want the tree of life. So yes, tree of life is in paradise, and you know, Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He used that word paradise. So anyway, the angel with the flaming sword, it wasn't a permanent and forever thing. There was a way back, but you got to go through that.
Can also the altar of incense, where we're giving up our soul, everything to the Lord, is that also because then you're going into the Holy of Holies? Is that also the same?
Well, that's a different sacrifice. I mean, that's not blood, but it's giving up your life, giving up your soul. You know, I'm kind of intrigued still about some of the verses we were reading the past few weeks. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our flesh, our blood cannot inherit. Our mortal, what do I say, body that is made of clay, flesh and blood. But I find it interesting when Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "Get a hold of me. I'm what? How do you say it? That I'm
Flesh
flesh and bone.
bone.
Flesh and bone." He didn't mention blood. Flesh and bone. So the new body is without the old blood, the old life that we've had that sustained us here as mortal beings. That blood isn't going to be our source of life anymore. Flesh and bone, we're going to be like Christ. His blood, he shed his blood. He's given it already.
I was just going to comment on that, Mark. You know, when it says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, to me, what it means is this natural man, this
Right.
natural man, it can't be given to him. It's got to be the spiritual man.
Please, can I ask a question?
Yes,
Hello, brother.
go. Yes.
Okay. I hope that it makes sense. With regards to the offering made by Cain and Abel, because in your explanation, you said that Cain did not bring blood, That was why his offering was rejected. So I want to know, was that offering a sin offering or a thanksgiving offering?
I think it was just a Thanksgiving offering. There's no mention of sin. They were just bringing a Thanksgiving appreciation to God.
Okay. My understanding is that if it is only in sin offerings, blood is compulsory, but if it is a thanksgiving, then the heart with which the offering is made becomes the major factor. So I am believing that Cain actually brought his offering with some lackadaisical attitudes. He never minded whom he was making the offering to. So my understanding so far, maybe today I will change, I don't know, is that it is not about blood, it's about the heart. Because even in the scripture it says that Cain was wicked. So his offering was out of wickedness. He had a wicked heart. So he brought not from the best of his produce, I believe. So that was why it was rejected, not because he didn't bring blood, because his trade didn't involve blood. It was about crops. So I need some clarification. Maybe I will change today. God bless you.
Yeah, we can't prove that it was not a sin offering, okay? It isn't mentioned. So it was just an offering, which it could have included a sin offering, it could have included a thanksgiving. Somehow they knew that it would be a good thing to acknowledge God. Somehow they had to have an awareness. Adam had to have shown them that they were in a place of sin. And somehow they knew what God expected. I don't know how, but it was not a surprise to Abel that God had accepted his offering. It was not a shock to Cain to find that God had not accepted his offering. Somehow he had a knowing that it wasn't going to work, that it wasn't the right way to go.
Here's what I'd say, okay? I think we need to forget trying to figure out whether it was a sin offering or a thank offering or whatever. Man always wants one, two, three, A, B, C. Here's how simply I see it. Cain's offering came from the ground. The ground is the dust that we're made out of. It's the lower natural life. Cain's offering came from the ground, but Abel's came from this life. The blood represents the life, and we have to have the life of God in us. So Cain offered something from the ground, which God is, that's the same thing as sin. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Thank you. So it's not about the heart. So both of them had good heart, but that the source of the offering was not right in the case of Cain, because it is of the earth. Of course, we know what earth means. It means carnality, of course, which also could mean his heart condition. So it's okay.
Well, to me, it comes back to this thing about religion. Man's religion is without blood,
Mark,
bloodless.
Mark, please, I hate to disrupt everything. Rebecca is having a mental breakdown right now. Please pray. I have to leave. Please
Okay.
pray.
Amen. Well, let me turn the recording off then and we'll pray.